You know what? We all have our 15 minutes of fame, and I'd like to take a couple of my 15 minutes to talk about the rights and the wrongs in the world of professional wrestling.
Anything for the WWE Championship.
This match is for the ECW World Heavyweight Championship.
The title is true. WOW sucks at doing tournaments. I just need to get that out of me just right off the bat. Hello, folks. This is Mr. Green. You are listening to the Rights and Wrongs of Pro Wrestling Podcast. And their tournament is finally done. And I can say that with absolute certainty that they are no good at making tournaments. I'm sorry. They just are not. There hasn't been a single one of them that they have produced that they didn't have some level of recycled team or flipping people around or something like that, and this was no different. Now, I'm not saying that the match was bad. Far from it. It wasn't great. I mean, you know, let me phrase that right. I don't mean it that way. It was not like it's going to be an all-time classic, but the match was good. It's just that they are so bad at putting in tournaments. I don't know why. They just are. It's like somebody there just finds it funny. Like, oh, well, they just bumped out the second round. We'll just put them back in the first. What kind of stupidity is that? Anyhow, before I go off into talking about WOW and this episode and reviewing it in full, thank you for tuning in for that, by the way. Let's go through a couple of things that's out there on the women's wrestling circuit and maybe a editorial or two about what's going on in WOW. One of the first things, and I was really surprised to read this when I saw it, you're going to get a WWE performer that's going to show up at a different promotion while under contract to the WWE. And that person is Shayna Baszler, the Queen of Spades. She's going to show up at GCW's Bloodsport 10. Well, I guess it's Bloodsport 10. They got X, but it might just mean X. But anyway, we'll say Bloodsport 10 on April 4th. And, I mean, it's not unheard of. I know it's not a common thing, but even during the now kind of shunned Vince McMahon-led era, every so often, if it was with a promotion that he was familiar with, a promoter that he trusted, had some sort of relationship with in business or something to that degree, the WWE has sent some of their guys down, and not just mid-card and small. I mean, like, top-tier guys have gone and had matches in other promotions. I mean, again, it's kind of funny. I just finished saying he who should be shunned, and I was about to use another name, Chris Benoit. He and Kurt Angle, they had a match in Memphis Championship Wrestling. Wow, they was getting ready to go to the a title match in WWE on pay-per-view to like the following day or something like that. I mean, you've had people show up in OVW, UPW out in California. So, I mean, there's a couple other examples of that. USWA in Memphis, and you can kind of go on and on. It's not often, but it has happened. There is precedent. That's what I'm saying. Now, of course, the bigger the WWE got, the less that they did that. But in this particular instance, we have a different regime. Probably people who do not care about wrestling to that degree that's in charge outside of Triple H. And outside bookings, I guess, are possible. Not going to say that it's going to become a regular occurrence, but they seem to be possible. Now, of course, there is a relationship, I believe. The person that, I can't remember his name right now, the person that operates Bloodsport trained Shayna Baszler in wrestling, not I don't believe in MMA. But the point being is that there is a relationship there. So it's probably something that she felt like, hey, you know, I would really like to do this. Do you mind? And lo and behold, she's going. So that is a big thing. April 4th, GCW, Bloodsport 10. It is nice to see that happening. That I'm sure that'll give hope to some indie promoters out there if they can first off pay the bill to get this, you know, whatever WWE talent they would like on their shows. But, you know, just being able to have them there at all, that might be able to give them some kind of boost in their attendance. Now, for those of those promoters out there that's running the smaller events, shall we say, I don't know if they'll be, I'm sure WWE's going to scrutinize where these people go. So just keep that in mind. They're probably not just going to pop up everywhere, but they will finally pop up. The Her event taking place during StarCast will see the return of another former WWE Women's Champion, more specifically a Divas Champion, when Vix Crow will enter the ring. Now, for those that are not familiar with the name, Vix Crow is the former Alicia Fox. And they are advertising this and that she will be in the ring with Mickie James at the Her event. Also to feature several other names, including Jordynne Grace defending her TNA Knockouts World's Championship against Delta. I am not familiar with Delta. I've just, you know, read it off of that. So I can't give you any backup about it. And I'm also pretty sure that if she's, it's going to be fun to have her there. But you rarely see the outside title change in these things like that. So I would not be expecting that. The big deal that they're going for here is the return of Alicia Fox, or as I said, Vix Crow. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm super excited about that. There's nothing against Vix Crow. It's hard for me even to want to say that. But nothing against her, but it's not like she was ever known as some sort of phenomenal wrestler. She was a great personality. That I can give her. But you know, she was never seen that way. And I do not perceive this as being some sort of dream match for anybody. They did talk about it's like they haven't been in the ring with each other since, what, like 2009? So, I mean, we're talking about well over a decade since these two have even interacted with each other in the ring like that. I don't know how often she has wrestled beyond then. I know she has been at certain wrestling events, but I do not know of, and I've not seen any indication that she's gotten into the ring since then. So, in any case, it may be a new chapter in her career. I mean, who knows? She could be training her butt off somewhere. So I am not holding my breath that is going to be a phenomenal match, but I am open to the idea of being surprised. There are several ladies that are going to be exiting Stardom coming up very soon. I believe there are five at this point, including Julia. I don't know if I want to start reading the names because I do not want to butcher anybody. But all five names are expected to join Rossi Ogawa's new promotion. That was the gentleman that had something to do with Stardom, and he left earlier in the year. So now he's starting up his new promotion, and he was a co-founder. And if I'm not mistaken, he might have been, how we say, asked to leave. So that might be why he's doing this. But in any case, with him leaving, he's apparently having some talent leave with him. The only one that amongst the group, and you can go and check the group out online, the only one amongst them that seems to be wanting to test the waters elsewhere seems to be Julia. It's reported, and I say reported as of now, that she is likely to attempt to go to the WWE. So we will keep our eyes open for that. Side note, It is a couple of episodes or podcasts ago, I mentioned or I asked a question after going through the Observer Awards and noticing that in no category, good or bad, did they have anything that said or related to wow, women of wrestling. Largely due to what I have said all along is that WOW doesn't perceive nor does it present itself as a wrestling promotion. It presents itself as a wrestling show. And there is a slight difference to that. But I'm bringing it up now because not only was it not listed in the Observer was good or bad, like it wasn't the best of anything, it wasn't the worst of anything, it wasn't ranked for anything, it wasn't even mentioned. But then you have things like this, where like the websites, the wrestling news, so to speak, will report on Stardom, a all-women's wrestling promotion in Japan, and not make a single mention of WOW anywhere. I mean, it's amazing to me that you have a company that is in the United States that largely features a pro wrestling environment. And I say largely because they have their moments when they just kind of veer off the path. But they largely present a pro wrestling environment. And it's like they make no efforts to try and capitalize on that audience whatsoever. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. It's not necessarily an easy audience to get, but it's an audience that they are already on the outskirts of just by the fact that they have certain wrestlers in it, just by the fact that it takes place in a wrestling ring and is presented as wrestling. But nothing about them ever goes that way. It's like they have no interest in trying to accommodate or attract the pro wrestling crowd. They just want the casual TV viewer, and I don't know if the casual TV viewer is going to deal with them. It's like, the more I look into WOW right now, as of me recording this today, the more I look at them, it's like the less information I start to get. I don't get them off of any other wire of wrestling news. They don't get voted on or talked about in the Observer. They have a very, very small imprint on Reddit that I have seen. Because any time that I've ever looked into it, it's maybe less than 10 people that's talking about it. It's not bad that there's people talking about it, but I'm saying there's not a huge audience that seemingly exists online. I know it's more people than that. The Reddit thing, you know, they've been a good group. But I would have expected a few more than that. It's just such an oddity to me. I mean, when I went through and I was writing my notes and I looked at it, I was like, Stardom. Not only does that, I mean, but like some of the other small all-female promotions, they still get at least some kind of mention. Like, I was just on Diva Dirt the other day. The last mention of WOW that I saw was like something from 2022. And it takes me back to when I said they had the key to that audience just with having AJ Mendez there. And they did nothing with it. Didn't bring it up. I mean, if you weren't paying attention to the show, you may not have known that she was there. It's a fascinating idea that they just feel like, you know, somebody, I'm not going to say they, somebody there feels like, or doesn't see the value in it. That's probably a better way to put it. They may not see the value in attempting to try to get into that market. I can't imagine why not. The more eyes you have on your product, the better, regardless of where they're coming from. At this point, no WOW isn't a startup, but they basically have started over for the fourth time. So, I mean, why would you work against that? doing the same thing that you've always done for the better half of 20 years and not having made any sort of leeway into it would pretty much tell me that we need to try something different. It's like Wild didn't need a wrestling community until they really needed a wrestling community when they showed up at WrestleCade and something like that. But outside of that, it's been, oh, well, let's go to Comic-Con, or, you know, we'll send somebody to the local news outlet or something along those lines to people who probably do not care about wrestling in general. They just like the idea of some colorful outfits and nice-looking women coming on the show, and the idea of, well, you know, we're doing this for women empowerment, because that's always been the story. But again, I mean, it is just a fascinating thing to me that most wrestling outlets that cover this stuff have seemingly either stopped doing it on WOW or just don't do it at all. Russellnomics. I just contacted Russellnomics the other day. And at this point, he's like, I make no guarantees about, he said, I'll look into it again, but I make no guarantees about providing ratings for WOW anymore. It's like, it's not even worth it. I just, for all the talk that I've, you know, read and heard, well, WOW gets more higher ratings than Impact. Yeah, but they cover Impact. They show the ratings for Impact. Impact has stars. Impact has a presence in the wrestling community. The same thing that WOW could be doing, they're doing right now, whether they have as many people watching or not. And for whatever reasons, for whatever logic that exists, it's like they refuse to try to do it. I mean, how difficult is it? Hey, just send a press release out to Diva Dirt, have it print this, or give them some access to some talent for interviews and what have you. But outside of outlets like mine, because there are a couple other, you know, podcasts out there that will address WOW and talk to WOW, and I've seen some talk to some WOW superheroes lately. Outside of that, I really don't see where they make the effort. That's all I'm saying. And it's just an odd concept, in my view, such as them doing or using NDAs for WOW, which I cannot prove that. Okay, I cannot prove. I'm going to just go public and say that right now. I have a very good reason to believe that they have NDAs, and I cannot say that, you know, any further than that. I have a very good reason to believe it, but I cannot prove that. So I'm just going to go off of me telling you, look, that there's a reason that I feel like they have it. But so not to cause any ripples or waves or anything like that, we're not going to go any further. But what do they need NDAs for? It's not a typical television show. TV shows use NDAs. If you look it up right now, there's the point of having NDAs to protect the privacy of a project, and specifically to prevent competitors from gaining information that could be used against the project. That is the written definition of an NDA, you know, non-disclosure agreement. But what do they need it for? Like any other place that would be, that could potentially use their proprietary information, is already doing it and probably doing it just as well, if not better. The only people out there that would have any use of what they're doing would be another wrestling show. And any other wrestling show that exists in the United States right now that's on national television is already doing this, and they're doing it well. They don't need to protect themselves from MLW or TNA or NWA or WWE or AEW. They all do. I mean, AEW maybe, because I don't know, but that'd be the blind leading the blind there. But anyhow, there's not a single good reason that I can think of that they should have it, other than we don't want people to know how much you get paid, or we don't want people to know if I treat you like crap or I treat you like gold. You know, I just want to be left alone and nobody know anything about WOW ever, besides what I tell them to know. You know, so I mean, it could be that, but it is not like writing a sitcom, and they've got the, you know, the formula for the greatest one that's on TV currently, or, you know, something like that. In those cases, I can understand. Hey, look, we don't want anybody to know our writing style or what, but or our show bible, or, you know, whatever reasons that people have it in the entertainment industry, and there are many. But an NDA for a pro wrestling company, from it seems absurd. I know that they have people who are coming in there who do not have a wrestling background whatsoever. And that's probably how they view things and how it's supposed to be for them. Sign an NDA because this is our project. But normally you're doing that when the project hasn't gone anywhere yet. This thing is public. It's on national television. What is it that they're trying to protect? That it needs to be, you know, the talent held to secrecy. I can't tell you anything about WOW because papers. So I don't know. In any case, that all kind of rolls in together. I just, you know, felt like I needed to vent and get that off my chest before I went into the show because it just seems absurd and stupid to be like, oh, you know, sign this and don't say anything about WOW. Well, I guess you want to keep yourself out of the shoot interviews or whatever the case may be. We'll find out about it 20 years from now. So let's get into the review of WOW Women of Wrestling seasonally 227, not the TV show, but the episode. And chronologically, this will be episode 79, the title Finals and Follies, the air date March 16th. So we begin the show, and it opens up with The Beast having an interview with Dave McClain, addressing the brass knuckles used, allegedly, you know, air quotes around used, by The Beast. Now, of course, Dave McClain comes in, and, you know, he's like, well, we can't prove that The Beast didn't cheat, even though he was looking right at the match. He was right there, and he know he didn't see it. I don't know why his eyeballs stopped working that particular instance, but, you know, it is what it is. So as she's pretty much saying that I don't need to cheat, I'm The Beast, and that's not a very compelling reason, but in the WOW universe it is, like, well, I'm The Beast. That's all the reason you need to know that I don't cheat. My name. Abilene Maverick comes hobbling out on some crutches and a head bandage, and the first thing I thought is, what kind of head wound does she have that she would need crutches? If you are that damaged, I mean, if you got hit in the head so hard that you require crutches to walk, you probably should not be anywhere near a wrestling ring. Now, I understand. I know. I get the joke. It's the heel coming out and faking the injury. It was a little bit over the top for me because of that. I was like, come on, you could have just had the bandage on your head and faked it, and oh my God, I can't believe how hard she hit. You know, you could have done that. But I mean, the crutches, it was like somebody just say, hey, here's the prop room. Find some stuff to make you look like you hurt. Okay. Crutches. That always makes people think that you're injured. I'll hobble out on crutches. So yeah, it just seemed like a additional step for nothing. So anyway, she doesn't act hurt. She's, you know, she just comes out and just, oh, you know, I don't have a doctor's excuse and this, that, and the other. Now McClain's demanding a doctor's report so he can, you know, I'm not cleared to wrestle. Well, you need to bring me a doctor's thing. Side note, is it me or did his voice get worse this episode? He always sounds like he has a case of permanent laryngitis. But is it me or did it get worse this episode? It's like when he's trying to accentuate certain words, the cracking kicks in and his throat's like, well, you have to give me a doctor's excuse. A lot of story. You know, I don't know what happened to him. It's never been a smooth voice, but that particular episode is like it was really noticeable to me. So anyway, this opening segment is there basically to keep the Beast's quest for the championship alive. And I'm fine with that. Like I said, even with the over-the-top and the absurdity of the VIP Abilene Maverick, and I'm glad they got the Governor's Daughter title off of her and changed it to the VIP. It's a much better name. I'm good with this. I don't know where this is going to end or how long it's going to take. I hope they don't drag it out too long, because I don't really feel a emotional attachment to seeing the Beast win. I want to see her win just because she's the good guy, but I don't have any sort of drive. Like, come on, you know, I don't have that. I don't have the will of like Cody Rhodes going after the WWE Championship and finally, you know, he was able to sell a story. And this is one of those moments where I'm like, the Beast not having any sort of real motivation or real dialogue to express how much this means to her, this is where this lacks. It would work better if she was able to articulate the quest for her championship, the declaration of getting the championship, and why it's so important. All she really says is, I got cheated. I don't need it to cheat. And I'm the Beast. I'm the biggest. I'm the baddest. And I get the championship back. It's I've said this about a number of people. The promos in a lot of cases are rinse and repeat. And hers, with the exception of a few other words tossed in, it all feels like it amounts to the same thing. It's rinse and repeat. It would be that much more dramatic or emotionally connecting if I knew a reason why this was so important. It has not been expressed, in my opinion, yet, besides the point that I lost it and I won it back, or it was taken from me and I won it back. And it might be a better thing if she was able to sit down and say that as a human being, rather than sit down and say it as a character, if that makes sense. The next segment was the Mother Truckers versus Team IQ Superior. You should have already known the second you saw their opponents who was going to win this. There was not a single doubt in my mind that the Mother Truckers were going, not just because they won last week, it's because of who they were up against. The Disciplinarian and the Classmaster. It is another one of these things that, like, how smart is Samantha Smart supposed to be? What kind of idiot puts together a three-person match and then, like, oh, with my own people? And then when the person that wins the thing, well, we have to attack her and kick her out of the group when she clearly has proven some level of dominance over the other two. Probably the best athlete of the ones that I got. And I'm going to keep the one, the disciplinarian, who's been here with me the longest, because she's been here with me the longest, and she loses constantly. Her record is crap. So the only good thing that came out is this, the Classmaster didn't get pinned. That was it. That was it. They did not pin the Classmaster. That is the single good thing that this match had. Now, because of Reddit, in fact, I'm led to believe that the Disciplinarian has parted ways with WOW. I have not confirmed that. They said it was in her Instagram stories. I did not find it, but I also did not go looking exceptionally hard. So if you happen to see it, then you heard it here. She's leaving. It wouldn't surprise me if that were the case. It's probably about due for her to go. I don't know what her, and I like Ivory Robin. That's who she was in a reality of wrestling when she was just getting started off, and she was a two-time Diamond Division's champion. Ivory Robin is a great wrestler. The Disciplinarian, not so much. So in any case, to skip through all this, the Mother Truckers win, the way that you would expect them to. Holly Swag pins the Disciplinarian with the hitch and ditch, and there we go. They cut a promo after the match. And then they'd sell the honk honk again. I hate that thing. And as I said, the only good thing that happened here is that they managed to get the class master out of the way and out of the ring so she did not have to, you know, suffer a loss and she could still look strong as they started her off. For the last 2 weeks, she's been looking strong and she looked strong in this match. I have to give her credit there. I concern about the class master specifically. Because whenever I see her outside of WOW as Lois Grain, it's like all her matches seem to be like comedy matches or cosplay matches or something like that. If she's going to be the dominant force amongst Team IQ Superior, then I want her to be that. Yeah, and I really think that she needs to change the look. Don't just be dominant, look dominant. Don't come out there with the cap and gown and pointing at a clearly fake book, you know, talking about how smart you are and people need to read when the only thing that she's ever done in the ring is show strength. And then she's like, ah, see, I'm smart. I don't know how that equates to being smart when you're just naturally taller than Holly Swag. So, yeah, it ain't just the booking. Some of that is the look. And I really wish they took this time, especially if the disciplinarian is stepping down, if she is leaving. This will be the time that I think that you can retool Samantha Smart and the class master, have her do something that to make her look like she's a strategist. All right, we're going to start this off from scratch. We're going to not just change you. We're going to change your mentality. We're going to change your arsenal. We're going to change how you look. We're going to make you the most dominant thing in the WOW. Everybody's going to regret the day that they came across Samantha Smart, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She has been presented stronger and more dominant, at least in this match, until she came up against Big Rig Betty. So I'm not really sure that I would have wanted to match them up against each other just yet, unless it was going to be the class master getting the better of her at least a few times before Big Rig turns it around. All that aside, like I said, the match was the match. It was fine, but there was no surprise for me about who was going to come out on top here. I was like, it's going to be the Mother Truckers. End of story. And that's what it was. I've already put their record out on, you know, on the podcast. I think they're 19-2 now, or at this point. If I'm remembering it, because I left off at 18. I just can't remember if I had a match in between, or the Mother Truckers had a match in between this episode or not. But, yeah, they've only lost twice. And I exclude the four-way. That would make it three times. So if you want to toss that in, you can. But, they've only lost less than a handful of times, three times at best. So no surprises here. Next segment, Lana Star, Miami Sweet Heat are backstage to talk about getting the titles back. And the funny thing is that Miami Sweet Heat pretty much tells the audience everything that they already know. They're sitting back there drinking a champagne on the Miami Sweet Heat is on the couch, Lana Star is on the chair, like side by side with them. And they're questioning how Team IQ Superior got a title match that, like, that they didn't deserve. And then one of them asked, have they ever even won a match? I'm like, what? Like, on your own TV, have they ever even won a match? Now, I know that they never won a match, and I know that they suck as a team. But there we go. I mean, even the heels here are addressing what we've already seen. Now, I will give them credit for acknowledging the obvious. Why are they in this match? What did they do to deserve it? Have they even won anything to be there? The answer to most of that is no. They haven't done anything to deserve it. They didn't win anything to get there, and they don't win. So you've got this team calling that out on TV. And, of course, Lana Starr is not concerned. There's no panic in either one of them. There's no nervousness, no anxiousness, no, we got to get none of that. They're just chilling out. They're drinking. like, I already have a plan, and, you know, but what is it? Well, I can't tell you why the camera's here. So for whatever reason, today they decided to acknowledge the camera. When most cases, WOW doesn't. The camera's just invisible, and we kind of peer into it. I wish they would find their groove with that camera. Either it's actually a camera or it's not. But in this case, it was. It was a camera, and then they just made the cameraman point the camera at the floor. Like, I don't know how that would stop them from not hearing it. The microphones work, but, you know. I guess you only think about those things when you're in production. It's like, yeah, I don't care. So what if I can't see you? If I leave the camera running, I can hear everything you're just saying. Now, that's just a whole different thing, but I digress. It did bring to mind one thing. The same thing I said with another episode. It's amazing how these things keep coming back around. It's absolutely amazing. The ranking of the managers. There is Lana Starr, and there's everybody else. As I said previously, every other manager here does nothing. Sophia Lopez has a horrible team. Samantha Smart has a horrible team and let the only talented one that she had go. Angelica Dante has Chainsaw, but that's just by proxy of her being her TV sister. I mean, there's Lana Starr and there's everybody else. Nobody else does anything. And so much to the point that she has little to no concern about getting the championships back. It's like it comes off like it's just a matter of time. We'll get it back. I have a plan. Don't worry. So we go out of that and we go to the next thing. Speaking of Sophia Lopez. I like Sophia Lopez. I do. I do not like how she has been presented, nor do I like how her team has been presented, nor do I like how they have shot certain things around this team. So, if you watched the episode, you may have noticed that they had a different partner for the team, Angel Rose, replacing Evelyn Rivera. Now, as far as I know, Rivera seemingly has cut off her social media. The last time that I looked, I have not seen anything as her former social media existed. Last time that I saw her on social media, it wasn't even on hers. It was on Jasmine Allures on Instagram. So I don't know if she's even still wrestling at all or not, much less with WOW. And that's fine. She might have some things that she's going on in her life. You know, she might be hurt, might have changed her mind. It might be any number of reasons. But I don't know where she is or what she's doing. And, you know, that's not information I could provide. So if I see or hear or whatever something about it in the near future or in the late future, then I will be sure to bring it up. But that aside, and I hope she's doing well. I hope that this isn't the case that she stepped out because something went wrong. I hope she's okay. But that aside, we have a new partner here. We got Angel Rose. Now, the first thing that I looked at was that they already had an outfit ready for her. Not only did they already have an outfit, on their Instagram, they did the old fake press conference. I don't want to say that it comes off cheap, but for a company that's got some money behind it, that came off a little cheap. Somebody was clearly holding this boom mic or trying to hold it still. It's like, okay, you couldn't get a mic stand to hold this thing up in front of them. And you can get it to shoot where she's talking to the camera instead of off camera like she is. It seems like they've started doing these video spots on their Instagram for like after the match. Because they did one with Team IQ Superior. They lost and then they uploaded something on Instagram. And of course, Classmaster turns it into a joke. But with the Banditas and Lopez – She's explaining. This is before the match. She's explaining where, why Angel Rose there is there and where Rivera went. The kayfabe answer is that Rivera was losing too much. She cost him like twice. So she cut her loose. It's basically what she's saying. That's not verbatim, but that's basically what she was getting at. She's lost, so we replaced her with Angel Rose. Now, because they had this on Instagram, I'm not really sure whether this should have been on TV or not. And I'll explain that. On the one hand, this probably should have been on TV to tell the audience why there's a new member there, instead of having the commentators have to do it. I cannot imagine that they got that footage at such a last second instance that they were unable to incorporate it into the show, especially when they shot it and she already had an outfit for it. And apparently this was taking place ahead of the match. So I don't know why that wouldn't have been able to be inserted into the show. But at the same time, part of me is like, they probably shouldn't have put it in there, because all it does is make Sophia Lopez look like an idiot. I fired this person because she was messing up. I hired this one and we got a brand new team, and this one not only messed up, but she screwed up by hitting her partner. Oh. This match was against the Tonga Twins, by the way. I don't think I said who their opponents were. So, it's always the job of somebody who comes in there new. I don't know why they do it, but they do. That they have to eat the fall or they got to get pinned and beaten. And that's what happened here. This is much like the Mother Truckers versus Team IQ Superior. It was a match that I was like, I do not feel that Los Banditos is going to win this. I was hoping that they would because they had a new member. But then they just proved me right and they lost anyway. How did they lose? Well, you got Sophia Lopez trying to use the briefcase. She gets it to Angel Rose. Angel Rose tries to save Sylvia Sanchez from being double teamed by the Tonga Twins. One of them moves out the way. She, being Angel Rose, nails Sylvia Sanchez by mistake. And, of course, that opens her up to be double teamed and hit with the Tongan drop by the Tonga Twins. 1, 2, 3, she's done. And, of course, the Tiki Chamorro came out to prevent Sophia Lopez from interfering any longer. She was up on the apron and Tiki came out. I mean, it was like too little too late, but she came out. So I don't know. I mean, the only thing that I saw out of that made any sort of sense to me was the frustration of Sophia Lopez walking out of the ring and leaving her team behind. I'm not even sure if that'll go anywhere. If I know why, I've lost faith in them being able to do that. It would not surprise me if that's never brought up again. I will hold out hope that they do something with it, but it will not be a shock to me if they do not do a thing with that. So we got the new Los Banditos. It is mentioned who the member is in blurbs by the commentating team. And there is a point in the match where I just like, you as a commentator have to know what you want to call and what you don't. Dave McLean is actually trying to sell the idea of Sophia Lopez sliding her briefcase into the butt of one of the Tonga Twins as like she's getting hit. I'm like, that, a couple of small whacks with this briefcase, that's supposed to be painful. I mean, I know Sophia was trying. I know she was, but that was not the place to be attempting to cheat. It's not a good place for it in the corner unless she was going to do something else. I mean, there's not a real good swing area with that briefcase in that spot. If she wanted to choke her or something like that around the turnbuckle post, then I could see that. If she wanted to pull her hair to keep her down or something like that, then I can see that. But if she wants to use the briefcase, then either Sanchez or Rose should be setting her up for it. Pitch the opponent out to the floor, go over there and talk to the referee, distract him, or go over and run over there and smack the other partner so the referee's forced to keep him back in. Have one of that opponent who got tossed out to the floor know that they're getting ready to sell, put the back up, and then let Lopez come down across the back as hard as she can so it get a good sound off in the arena. And then back up immediately. I didn't do anything. What are you talking about? But, you know, what do I know? Next segment is Team Spirit. And they follow the coach around like a group of lost puppies. Coach, what are we doing? Where are we going? What are you doing? How are we going here? Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just question after question after question, which almost makes me feel like coach should have dumped them. But we'll get to that because they sound annoying. It's like a group of annoying kids. I don't know why you're supposed to feel sympathy for them. So coach is getting them, and she says, hey, grab that bench over there, which I just – at the bottom of the Wild Steps, by the way. This is happening down there to the invisible camera that just lingers at the bottom of the Wild Steps nonstop to catch these interactions. So she is having them follow her, and then she notices a convenient bench over there. Hey, grab that bench. And then they get it, and all three of them carry it up and up the stairs and follow the coach out. She's like, I'll explain everything later. Ariel Sky seems to revert it back into being a dimwit. When she was on commentary, her intelligence and IQ points raised so that she could hold conversation. But after that, it's like she's just reverted back down to being, you know, one of the stooges again. The next segment is Team Spirit coming out and going into the ring. And we got Coach cutting another coach self-grandizing promo. Nothing surprising here. She talks to David. I don't know why, because this is becoming a common thread. They come outside, they go to the ring, and then they immediately start holding conversation with him. So this promo is to set up who will not wrestle as part of Team Spirit. Now I can get back to the point being that this tournament is stupid. And I tried to give it a chance. I did. But it is, why bother to have a tournament? And I'm not talking about the individual matches in it. Nor am I talking about the persons that were involved in the tournament, but why have a tournament that you would have a first round elimination, the Mighty Mites, and the following week they're right back in it with another partner with no repercussions? If you could just get bumped out of the tournament and just jump back in it, then what is the point of the tournament? Never mind the fact that every round that Team Spirit had, man, one of those isn't their fault, but every round that Team Spirit had has been a different combination of people. What is a fluid tournament supposed to be? I mean, that's just a made-up term. There's no such thing. There's no such thing outside of the universe of the cartoon land of WoW where that will ever fly. As I'm recording this right now, we're in the middle of March Madness. Or it is just starting off. I shouldn't say in the middle. It's just starting off. It is a tournament. For those who aren't familiar, it is a basketball tournament that takes place over a couple of weeks across multiple networks. It's big business. And it, you know, shows the top, best of the best universities, you know, across the country. University basketball teams, male and female. And the tournament sells the eyes for the show. Or for the game. People want to see basketball. They tune in and they watch the tournament. And it's such a big, they put the bracket, it's bracketology. Who's going to win this thing? And then the stories get derived from that. The underdog stories, the coaches that's going, this is the last shot that this team has, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the drama unfolds from the tournament during the tournament. And as such, they make winning it mean something. when I have a tournament that if I beat somebody round one and they could just inexplicably just show back up, then what am I doing this for? For what reason would I bother to do this? And that's a kayfabe question, but I mean, seriously, why would you bother to do that? Is this going to get me a bigger check? Is this going to get me a title shot? Why would I annoy myself trying to compete in a tournament that I can't tell who I'm up against because they may just pop back in there, they get eliminated second round, second round may just start again. There's not a single tournament that WOW has done that they haven't done that. Somebody just get recycled or a team pop up out of nowhere. Not one. WOW is awful at doing tournaments. Awful. They suck at it. So, like I said, self-aggrandizing promo from Coach. Talks to David. Setting up who we're going to bench today, hence the convenient bench that they found at the bottom of the stairwell. It's amazing how that happened to be there that day. After this, Exile has a backstage segment. They're still playing into the I'm the leader deal, and they're showing clear dissension in the ranks. This tournament is a backdrop for personal drama amongst the teams. Didn't mean anything. If they do it again next year, I will not care. But, yeah, that is just a backdrop for other stuff. Well, they might have been able to get something annual out of it. They flushed that down the toilet. I cannot imagine that this did anything for ratings, but I won't know because WrestleNomics doesn't care about doing WOW anymore like a lot of outlets don't. Next promo is for next week. Which is right in front of me now as I'm recording this because I've seen the preview. Well, I've seen portions of this episode, and I won't spoil anything, but it's promo for Katrina Jinx versus Princess Ozzy. I like Ozzy. I'll leave it at that. Next segment is the main event, and it's Exile versus Team Spirit. As I just said, this tournament took a backseat to infighting on both sides of the fence. It's infighting with Exile because Genesis is carrying on with this I'm the leader nonsense, which I don't know where that's going. And I'll probably have to wait another 2 or 3 weeks to see it take another step. And then there's infighting with Team Spirit, although they don't know it because the cheerleaders are too stupid to realize it. So, Coach comes out, and even though she does it one by one, she immediately benches all of the members of Team Spirit. Because earlier she's like, well, as long as I'm in the tournament, then it's Team Spirit. As long as Coach is in it, then Team Spirit exists, basically. So David agrees to this. I don't know why he would agree to this, but he agrees to this. I will give credit to where it's due that they tried to insert some logic to it. I don't agree with the logic, but it's the closest thing that they got to get to where they were going. Because if I'm exiling, I'm across the ring from this, and I'm seeing them just randomly pick people out of nowhere who didn't participate in this tournament whatsoever to face me in the finals, then I'd be pissed. Why didn't they get on the microphone and say, this is bull. What are you talking about? We went through every round. Why did they get to change everybody out? So anyhow. She sits Sparks down, and she sits Pep Riley down. How much time did they have wrestling in this thing at all? 5 minutes collectively? And I'm talking about across two matches, maybe three. How long did they actually have just in-ring time? It couldn't be more than like 5 or 6 minutes. But why were they even in this? What was the point of doing the search for a third member to get to this portion of the show or of the angle? What was the point of any of that? So Sasha Sparks gets sat down. Pep Riley gets sat down, which she probably needed to be because, you know, like, her only job in the match is just get bumped around anyway. And then they sit down Ariel Sky, which I'm not even sure why she would be there. That coach could have just played off, hey, look, we're concerned about you, sit down. But that's not what she did. She did what coach normally does, and she does this, I know best, and I'm self-grandizing, I'm the coach, do what I say, and, you know, everything that they've always done. Coach has always been a heel, masquerading as a babyface, and she didn't masquerade hard. It's not like she changed her ways or something like that, but she's always come across as a condescending prick. So I don't know why any of this was surprising to anybody. Well, the only thing that I get with Coach is that it took forever to get to this point. That was the one thing that people that was in the room that saw this show for any length of time, like I'm talking like for months, they're like, well, it's about time. She's like, she doesn't come off like a nice person at all. Like, I'm surprised it took her this long to turn. That's somebody else saying that, not me. And that's not even somebody that watches wrestling regularly. He just looks at it because we had the same job and we have to monitor that. So after they're out and she benches everybody, David McClain's out there overselling. He's like, what are we going to do? How's he going to do, you know? And then Coach introduces Gloria Glitter and Candy Crush because, you know, a couple of weeks ago we've had interactions between them at certain points in time individually. Coach walking up to Gloria Glitter after she had a loss. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, Coach says do this, which was probably the easiest, most simplest piece of advice that you could give. Like, something along the lines of, hey, when people point a gun at you, move out of the way. I'm like, really? I didn't think of that. It was pretty much advice basically along those lines. Like, you celebrate it too early. Next time, keep your eye on your opponent. Really? Hey, what? Well, that sounds like a genius idea. Maybe I should keep my eye on the opponent until I know I've won. God. Anyway. So that was the interaction that Coach had with Gloria Glitter. And, of course, we had Candy Crush. We had an interaction with Gloria Glitter in the back also. Glitter being, I guess, the center point between the two. And it looked like Crush and Glitter were becoming a tag team just based off of that. So I felt like we were getting the beginnings of a Candy Crush heel turn right there. And that was fine. Here is where I didn't know what the crowd was going to make of this, because I'm looking at them. The first time I watched this, I was really paying attention to the crowd to see, like, how many people are really engaged in this match? How many people are actually cheering or rooting for somebody or wanting somebody to win? And it ain't many. Like, they're cheering for the moves and they're clapping and they're applauding. But it's like, how could they look at this match and know that, hey, I need to cheer for a team spirit when they swapped out everybody that was in it other than Coach? Well, how should I cheer for Exile when they come in as a heel team? And speaking of heel, Gloria Glitter's a heel. Coach is condescending. Candy Crush, we don't know about. It's like, who are you supposed to be cheering for here? It's the idiocy of that tournament just knows no bounds. And so they had this, and I am positive that crowd probably didn't know what to make of it. They just was at a TV taping and applauding the stuff that was in front of them because the match looked good. You got to give them that. The match looked good. They performed the moves well, and, you know, I don't recall any, you know, major flub-ups or anything like that. Everybody looked like they were, I don't want to say a star, but, you know, they looked the part, we'll say that. So the new Team Spirit, for all intents and purposes, worked as a babyface, even though that this is a heel versus heel match. The bench members of Team Spirit sat at ringside for whatever reason, because Coach told them to, I guess, and they pretty much just acted like the cheerleaders that they are and raised the pom-poms and cheered for the team and whatever. Match was fine, but Coach wins with a buzzer beater on Ice Cold for the win. And Team Spirit, in its most recent and I guess final incarnation, wins the tournament. So all the members gathered inside the ring. And Candy Crush stands next to Pep Riley. Well, Pep Riley and Sasha Sparks stand next to Crush and Glory Glitter. Coach gets the trophy, and she gets the microphone, and then she gets to cut a promo, and Ariel Sky's in there. She's standing behind her, and she does another Coach promo, and she's, you know, running down. None of this would be possible if Ariel Sky hadn't have done such as basically saying, if Ariel Sky hadn't have dared to think for herself and try to get somebody else in the team, which honestly she shouldn't have done, because why? For what reason? What was that for? I questioned it then. I was like, what was the whole point of having this alleged worldwide search if you were going to turn around and just find somebody like the following 2 weeks with absolute ease? So she runs it down like, hey, you know, but fortunately Coach stepped up and blah, 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 blah. And after all of that, after clearly being run down in front of the audience, her teammates in the world, a quick turn of tone, and Coach's like, all right, well, so come up here and get your trophy. So Ariel Sky steps up, and she, for whatever reason, walks past Coach. I don't know. I was like, that's not getting a trophy. Why are you walking past her? It looks back with a smile on her face like an innocent doe, and then turns back towards the camera to look at the hard cam. I guess that's how she accepts trophies, and then she gets hit in the back with the trophy that they just won, immediately breaking it. And Sky and Riley are shocked. And before they could do anything, Gloria Glitter and Candy Crush give them a kick in the guts and punch them and throw them out of the ring. And those must have been some staggeringly haymaker punches and hard as bricks, because the second day they got hit, they just went down to the floor and they stayed down there for the duration of everything else that followed. Ariel Sky gets beaten up by Coach and she gets stomped by all three, and then they put her out of the ring. And I don't think that the fans cared. Coach Campanelli gets on the microphone and basically says that, you know, Team Spirit is dead and they've formed Top Tier. The idea, the concept of Top Tier, I like. Largely because I like Candy Crush has won me over. I like Gloria Glitter largely because her time as Delilah Doom, and she's good when she's there. Coach has potential. I don't think that she wrestles anywhere else besides WOW, but I think she has potential. And I still think that she, along with Crush and along with a lot of other ones, probably need to be doing some more work elsewhere so they can get the reps in so they can be as good as they can be. But I'm sure that in their mind, as long as they could do what Dave McLean needs them to do and perform as a WOW superhero, that's all that is required. So they get rid of Ariel Sky. She goes down, and like I said, they form Top Tier and they go off the air, and, you know, that was the end of the show. We had some fine matches here, but matches without a lot of shock in terms of who was going to win. It was no shock that the Mother Truckers won against Team IQ Superior. It was no shock that Los Banditas lost against the Tonga Twins like they always do. Was there another match there? I forgot. This is a three-match show. And then Exile. That probably was the closest thing, but once they put the other two in there, I was like, all right, they're not losing. Because that's going to be the thing that's going to be the catalyst for whatever it is that's about to happen. And sure enough, it was. So there you have it. I don't know why WOW is suddenly falling into the same ideal of AEW. And that being the assumption that our fans see everything that we do. If we put it on YouTube, they see it and they'll understand the story. If it's on the internet, they'll see it and they'll know who this person is and we won't have to explain it. If we put it on Instagram, they'll see that and we won't have to mention it on TV. AEW has been somewhat notorious for that for a while. They're not as bad as what WOW did here, where it's a completely pertinent piece of information that should have been on television that they just completely overlooked. But they seem like they're falling into the same ideal and bad habit. They don't need to have these press conferences that carry information that should be on TV. I'm not saying don't have exclusive stuff that exists online or on their social media. That can be very useful. But when there's information that needs to explain something for the viewing audience that comes in and week out, that ain't where it needs to be. You can have another version of it on there, but they don't need to be sitting on Instagram without any recognition of it on television, other than the commentators like, well, you know, such and such happened and they had to get rid of Rivera because they look at this Angel. That shouldn't be their job. It becomes that when you have no alternative, but they had an alternative. They had the footage. It was already shot. They uploaded it. So I didn't have any, you know, problem with necessarily the footage other than what I mentioned before. Like, it should have been there, but at the same time it's probably good that it didn't, because what kind of fool would it make Sophia Lopez look like to say that, well, yeah, I got rid of this person so it can get somebody better, and then she causes the loss. But I am also convinced that most of them there do not care, because they're not looking for employment and wrestling elsewhere. So what difference does it make how they're presented, as far as they know? I didn't really have a problem with the execution of the main event angle either. I thought that Campanelli and Sky and Crush and Glitter and Sparks and Riley probably did as good as they could do, other than I don't know why Eric Scott would have walked up past Coach to receive a trophy. It's like she didn't hear words you said. Like, I didn't say stand in the spotlight. I said come up here and get your trophy. But anyhow. So I can't imagine whatever emotional attachment they may have thought the fans would have had towards this, because if the fans in-house didn't have an attachment to it, I'm pretty sure that the fans at home barely had an attachment to this. Who cares who won this? Why should I wasn't with this team from start to finish. And then the way that they swapped them out is like, that would be something that you put up against a babyface team so they could try to fight and overcome the odds, not another heel team standing across from them. And then you had the babyface team go down, and then you could get some heat on the heels, even though they did something to accommodate that by jumping the other two. But then they showed that they're made out of tissue paper, because they got hit and just, all right, we're just down. We're just down for the count. Until this segment's over, and then we'll get up. And where are their friends? No one desired to come out there and try to help Eric Sky. Nobody was available. So, I don't know. If Eric Sky is going to go into combat against top tier with the two that she has right now, she might as well just go ahead and accept the loss. So, and she's the only member of this that they could possibly care about. Eric Sky is the only one there that they could possibly care about with this. Pep Riley has barely said a word. She's come out there and she's been thrown around and she's been beaten up, but she's barely said a word. And then Sasha Sparks has said something, maybe like two sentences or so. And she barely got a chance to do anything in the ring. Like I said, if they got more, and I'm talking about between the two of them and, three matches, if they have more than 6 minutes of collective wrestling time amongst those two matches, I would be shocked. So I don't know. Anyhow, if they got more than 3 minutes of collective wrestling time on air with that company, I would be amazed. Now that I'm really thinking about it. So there it is. And if it takes weeks for Team Spirit to get some kind of revenge, or at least attempt some revenge on Top Tier, or say something about it, I'll be, you know, really disappointed. They at least need to do that. And I do think that that is supposed to be around the corner. As I said, I looked at a little portion of the next episode of WOW. I cheated the system a little bit. It was already uploaded, and I got the press release, like, so I was a bit curious. I said, well, you know, I already know what the matchups are going to be, and I was wondering who was going to win and who was going to lose. I mean, because I, honestly, when I saw the matchups, I wish I could say that I was emotionally driven to watch it. I will, because it's going to be on. But I'm not just like, hey, I have to see this match because it's going to be the matchup of a lifetime. And, like, you know, it's Princess Ozzy and Katarina Jinx. That's worth the price of admission and more. I don't know. I didn't feel that. But I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt because, like I said, I did look at some stuff, and it seems as if, and let me just stop right now before I even go any further. This is a little bit of a spoiler. So if you do not want to know who is facing whom, or you don't want to hear anything about what else, I'm not going into deep spoilers about who won and lost and, you know, stuff like that. But if you do not want to know anything about that particular episode, I'm going to give you this moment to skip ahead to the next chapter, to the end, or fast forward to the end, whichever you decide to do. All right. So I assume if you're still listening to this right now, then you are fine with what I'm saying. So in any case, let's just go into what WOW has upcoming as of this recording. As I stated, the press release for WOW and its upcoming episode, as I'm saying this, you would be seeing this tonight. And I'm going to read the press release, and then I will say about the portions of it that I watched already. The press release is for Season 2, Episode 28, the title Dominance Declared. Following the astonishing events of the Trios Tournament Finals last week, Coach Campanelli's newly formed top-tier team with herself, Candy Crush, and Gloria Glitter make their intentions crystal clear to the WOW roster. An understandably emotional Ariel Sky processes the events that unfolded in the Trios Tournament Finals. Can she overcome her personal feelings, or will Coach Campanelli get the best of her? Following Rena Del Rey's surprise attack on Princess Ozzy last week, Nigel Zane attempts to get to the bottom of her intentions. Mexican champion Tormenta and Tiki Chamorro face off in the ring. Miami's Sweet Heat, Luscious Lindsay, and Lovely Laurie talk the talk in the locker room, but will they bang heads in the ring with the Heavy Metal Sisters, Fury and Rebel Hayes? G.I. Jane continues climbing the ranks as she gets her shot at greatness when she battles former WOW World Champion Penelope Pink in the main event. That is the press release that is sent to me. That is what you have to look forward to, except for there are a few things that are not quite kosher there. There was no attack on Princess Ozzy last week. So, and I understand when they send these things, it's not going to the general public, so they wouldn't know that. However, what this did, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it now. That's why I'm giving you time, stalling, giving you time. Okay, this happens here. Like, whatever it is that they were talking about happening last week, they just slotted into this episode. There's a new set of jumpsuits for our coach and our crew. Top tier. I didn't fully listen to the promo, so I don't know what their declaration to the Wild locker room is. I'm sure I'll hear it tonight. I didn't see anything about Aero Sky, but also skimmed through the episode. I was kind of fast-forwarding through it. I don't know what it is that Nigel Zane is supposed to be doing. Like I said, whatever this is that they're talking about here is not addressed last week. Seems like it's addressed now. And what the reasons for it are, who knows? Other than Reyna Del Rey needs something else to do because Wrecking Ball is no longer worthwhile. The Tegi Chamorro and Tormenta. I didn't even watch this match, and I have absolutely zero doubt that Tormenta's going to lose. And I really wish they would stop bringing up the fact that she's Mexican champion. Because at this point, it's burying whatever championship that she allegedly has. She's the Mexican champion, Nigel. She won the title in Mexico. She's the Mexican champion of such as... Just stop. Because it buries Mexico, whatever company that she's in. Because if she is the champion of... she's the Mexican champion currently. And then she comes on Wild television and loses 9 out of every 10 matches that she has, then the competition and wherever she's coming from has to be subpar. So, I mean, they need to have a different symbol of status for Tormenta rather than she's the Mexican champion of some fictional wrestling promotion, because they never attach it to anything. It's just Mexican champion. Not CMLL, not AAA, not, you know, Lucha Libre America, you know, nothing like that. It's just Mexican champion. So they can say that constantly without, you know, insulting anyone's personal promotion. Because if it was my promotion and they kept bringing it up and she kept going there and losing all over the place, like, I would call it by now. Stop this. Or I would have told her, you can't be there as my champion. You got to drop that. I want to acknowledge you as a champion at that point. I did not bother with the main event. I will see it again. You know, I'll watch it along with everybody else when I look at it tonight. I am going to go with G.I. Jane. She should get the win, but, you know, who knows? Especially when you consider that there's Lana Starr and her Rat Pack of friends. They probably will just decimate the locker room all over again right up to their regaining all the championships. It wouldn't surprise me. So there it is. That is the preview for next week's show. On the surface of WOW, just looking at the individual matches, the matches were fine for WOW television. But there does come a point where I'm like, you know, if you give it any more thought than what is happening right then, right there, on the program that second, then it starts to have holes poked in it. And it's not like I go out of my way to try to poke the holes. It's just like these things just are obvious to me. They don't make sense to have this tournament and then do the goofy things that they do. I have completely lost faith that they know how to do anything with a tournament. So the next time that they do it, I probably will barely pay it any attention. Except for the fact that I know that it'll drag out over the course of like 2 months or something like that. But their tournaments are awful. It didn't mean anything. They should never have another trios tournament. Whatever excitement I had about seeing a group of three get something done in there, I no longer have. And the only thing that might have come out of that of any substance is top tier, and they could have got to that another way if they wanted to. And I am relatively sure, because of how I saw it, I was like, the gimmick is going to be, you know, they're super athletes and we carry this trophy around as the sign of our superiority. That is my guess. I don't know that for certain. Like I said, I did not listen to the promo in full. I was still working. So I could peek at it, but I couldn't really pay attention to it. And lo and behold, what did I tell you? The Heavy Metal Sisters didn't take them 2 weeks after losing the first time. You knew that it was going to happen. They just rebranded and just slapped Rebel Hayes in there and put it with Fury. So whatever singles run she had, that's over and done with. And we got Heavy Metal Sisters 2.0 in there. And I expect nothing from them. If I'm Rebel Hayes, I probably would regret joining the team after the first loss that they had. But we'll see where that goes. So anyway, and I say that because they're up against Miami Sweet Heat. And if there's anybody that has a better record than, well, not better, as close a record of victory to the Mother Truckers is Miami Sweet Heat. I have little doubt that they will come up with that. And if they do lose, I will be incredibly shocked. Incredibly. So that's it, folks. That is the show. That was the review. That was my opinions about WOW up and down with that episode. I would have liked to provided you more information. Like I said, with the ratings, I was really looking forward to getting that. I hope that Russell Thomas can get it back in. He said he was going to try, but like I said, he doesn't make any guarantees. And it just feels like more and more people are doing that. Time will tell. So I will close on that note and ask for those who have not subscribed or wherever platform they happen to be on, please subscribe to the channel and support us how you can. And that is one good way to do it. Liking the episodes is another. It helps us in the algorithm. And the persons that have gone on and looked at the ads and called in, I appreciate that. There's also the WOW. I'm promoting that stuff. There's also the WPN shop, which is on the YouTube tab. And of course, everything that we do is all centrally located at WPNWrestling.com. WPNWrestling.com is the nexus for everything that we have, including these podcast episodes and a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week stream of all the matches that we had in the archive. So, on that note, I want to say that this is Mr. Green saying that this is Mr. Green saying so long, and we will see you on the next go round. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the WPN's Rights and Wrongs of Pro Wrestling. If you have questions or comments, please contact us via our Facebook or our YouTube channel at the Women's Pro Wrestling Network. If you're new to the WPN, feel free to subscribe to our channel and like our page. We appreciate your support. Thank you again for listening.